Now, it's not nice to be in the midst of people who are always negative, and you wouldn't want to be in a church where all it is a ministry of doubt, sowing the seeds of doubt. You want a ministry that builds you up in the faith, that edifies, that encourages. We are doubters, and that's why one of the disciples said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And it is again the work of grace in our souls to not only give us faith to believe at first, but to keep on believing.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I take great joy in inviting you to stay with us for the program today, which is focused on Blessed Assurance. And I wish we had time to play that hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Doubt is a terrible thing. Unbelief is a robber of our peace and assurance in the grace of God. And so I hope that today that you'll stay tuned as we turn to the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's the item of armor that we're looking at here today.
Today we're going to be preaching on the Christian armor, on the item of the helmet of salvation, which will lead us into the state of the Christian's mind. And I thought we'd read in Psalm 119 because it has a lot of emphasis upon teaching us, guiding us, and understanding the ways of the Lord that will keep us from sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. And what we have in our minds will greatly affect how we live, how we worship, how we walk with God. And so let's turn to this Psalm 119. Let's go right to verse 33. Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and we're going to move to our message from the pulpit of our church on Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
That you belong unto the Lord. And it is that knowledge that brings peace, the hope of salvation to your own heart. And you can say, I have been saved, and I'm sure of it. When you lose that, you lose the peace, the joy, the blessedness of salvation. In the winter of 1888, there was a ship at sea just off New Jersey on the east coast of America. In the midst of a storm, there came another vessel that seemed to be unmanned, roving at will in the seas. It struck that little ship, rendered it rudderless, and cast it upon a sandbar. For a whole night, the men on ship shivered in the rain and the cold, in the fear that the ship was going to break up. They had thrown a rope over the rigging, And as far as I could tell from the story, they had fastened it to something, but they knew not what it was in the darkness of the night. And they spent that night in fear, sleepless, exhausted. And when daylight came, they awoke, if they slept at all, and they realized that they were safely fastened to the shore. All the while they were fearful, not knowing that they were well anchored. It's possible for a Christian to go through days, hours, weeks, years even, saved, redeemed, bought by the blood, ministered to some degree by the Holy Spirit, and yet not quite comprehend the full degree of safety that you have in Christ. And so it's good for us to sing, "We have an anchor for the soul, steadfast and sure, let the billows roll. Fastened to the rock, we cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love." And it is with that assurance, that mindset, that helmet, that hope of salvation that makes us strong and able to serve the Lord. Then there's the old other tense, and that is, I am being saved, built on the present. I am being saved. Now, that's the continual story of every Christian day by day as we live the pilgrim life here on earth. And life indeed is ongoing, always changing. There are twists and turns. There are mountaintops and valleys. There are struggles and cares. There are happy days and there are heartbreaking days. And we need to know that we, in all of them, are being kept. We are being saved, first of all, from ourselves. It's good to know that, isn't it? Because when you get to know yourself, you're not very proud. You're not very encouraged because you could destroy everything. There is within our hearts a rot, a sinful nature, a carnal nature that would lust and long after sin. But there is the keeping, the saving power of the Lord to deliver us from temptation. Call it conviction, call it an unease, a discontent. The Spirit of God strives and calls you back and delivers you from that temptation. We're also being delivered from doubt. Oh, that's an enemy of our souls, our own doubts. Now, it's not nice to be in the midst of people who are always negative, and you wouldn't want to be in a church where all it is a ministry of doubt, sowing the seeds of doubt. You want a ministry that builds you up in the faith, that edifies, that encourages. We are doubters, and that's why one of the disciples said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And it is again the work of grace in our souls to not only give us faith to believe at first, but to keep on believing. And every day we believe and trust and learn to lean upon the Lord. We're saved from our doubts. We're also saved from our own, well, I have a word, I'm not sure if I should use it or not. I don't want to offend anybody. I'll apply it to myself, how's that? And if you want to use it to yourself, that's your call, all right? The Lord saves me every day from being dumb. We are prone to wrong thinking all the time. And you would think after all these years of studying the Bible, of prayer and walking with God, that we would be out of that category. But you know, some of the oldest saints have done some of the dumbest things. You study the life of Abram and Moses, some of the stalwarts of the faith, and you can't be proud of everything they said and did. And sometimes it's the old fool that's the worst fool. And we need to be delivered from being just dumb. Christians sometimes can make so little progress in spiritual knowledge. Bible knowledge seems to be slow. When you go to school and you learn economics and engineering and all those disciplines of life, you can make rapid progress. But in the school of Christ and His Word, we are very slow learners. We know that hardwood trees grow very slowly. That's why they're hard. And God causes slow growth in us at times to make us truly strong and able to withstand the issues of life. And so we need to be taught. And the Lord is teaching us. When you read Psalm 119, as we read a few sections of today, when you read Psalm 119, it's all about teach me, guide me, put thy fear in my heart, let me walk in thy precepts and thy statutes. That's the attitude of the Christian. Keep me. I am being saved through the light and the knowledge of the Word that comes to my heart. And then we need to pray that God will put that truth on fire. Truth on fire. That will keep us so that it's not just dead knowledge, but that it is working its work, sanctifying us more and more. And then also we are being saved from our dryness. I think everyone here will confess that we hit at times in our Christian life dry periods, and it is a drought within our souls. When no matter what we read, no matter how we try to pray, no matter how we go to church, no matter what we do with the means of grace, it seems that it just doesn't do as much good, and there's little blessing in it. You cannot say that you know the power of God's presence in your soul, but in those dry times, you long for it. You long for that blessing. And it's at that time that your very desires are keeping you. And it causes you to long for the blessing. And it's that longing, that yearning, that wanting God's blessing. That's what's keeping you. And even in those dry times, God is helping you through. It's the struggle of the seed that needs to grow. Now, some of you know that in my backyard, the previous owner of our home planted a hedge of bamboo. I wish he had never done it. I spend my life keeping that bamboo in place. And I found this shoot popping up. But I didn't see the shoot. What I saw was an old saw that had been left there, and it was bending right up. And I saw the rusty blade of the saw because the shoot underneath was pushing it up. And there was this bamboo shoot coming through. The blade was pushing it down. Preachers in the garden get sermon illustrations. And that is just like you and me in this world. There's something pushing us down. And we are like that sprout wanting to grow. And the Lord's keeping us in the very desire and the very burden to grow. We are being saved from falling. Jude 24, I'll not ask you to look it up, you know it well. Unto him that is able to keep us from falling. And the Lord works that in our hearts. He keeps us even right then. We're kept from Satan's worst. Job had a hedge about him. Satan could not get through that hedge unless God gave permission to touch Job in some way or other. And that's true of you and me. We are being saved every day. The Christian is a living miracle, a walking trophy of God's grace. And the more you want to live for Christ, the more you walk with him, you can say, I am being saved. Then lastly, we're going to say, I shall be saved. That's the hope of the future that this helmet of salvation gives us. I shall be saved in death. Isn't that great to know? In death, in the hour of our greatest weakness, in the hour when we will cross from this world over the Jordan into the new world, we are told that we will fall asleep in Jesus. And praise the Lord, it doesn't say we'll fall asleep out of Jesus. You'll never fall out. We are asleep in Jesus. We are united to him. And we are kept daily by his grace. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. And this is the hope, even in death. I shall also be saved in judgment. There's a day of judgment coming. As we went through Revelation 6, we learned of that day of wrath and how the wicked will call upon the mountains. The kings, the captains, the great men will call upon the mountains to hide them from the face of the wrath of God and from the wrath of the Lamb. It will be a terrible day for the wicked. But on that day, the Christian will be kept. And if you come to the meeting this evening, we will learn of what it means to have the mark of God upon your forehead, to be sealed, that the angel of judgment will do no hurt to the children of God, saved in judgment. I shall also be saved to enjoy glory. This is the thinking of the good soldier of Jesus Christ. You fight with the hope of glory in your soul. Now, when you read of Abram and Moses and the men of faith, they labored not for the day, they labored for the reward of heaven that was to be their eternal home, their eternal possessions. Moses was saved for 120 years. Well, for 80 of those years, he was, we would say, took a stand for Christ at age 40 when he renounced Egypt and was willing to go into the backside of the desert to live by faith. And for all those 40 years, God kept him. Then God used him to come back and to stand before Pharaoh to lead the children of Israel into liberty. And for another 40 years, how God provided. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the manna, the quail, the water out of the rock. He was being saved. And then, of course, when he entered into glory, he was finally saved. This is the helmet of salvation. These are the reasons to be a Christian soldier and to do so with hope. The hope that this world is but a little while, a light affliction, which cannot be compared with the eternal weight of the glory that is ahead of us. Do not cast off the Christian armor. Do not cease to be a soldier of the Lord. Because we are saved, being saved, and yet to be saved finally, and to see the glory and enter into it. There is an historic story of a Greek warrior leader called Xenophon. He found himself at the death of the king, the leader of an army that was routed by the Persians, and he headed north to the Black Sea to find a way home with 10,000 troops. And the story is that when that army arrived at the sea, at something of a bluff that looked down upon the shimmering waters of that ocean, when the men saw that sight, ships awaiting, they shouted, "The sea, the sea, the sea," with thoughts of home and of loved ones. Those weary warriors were transformed into new, excited men. And it is similarly with us when we get a sight of the glory that we shall be saved finally, that we will put on the armor and stand for the Lord to fight for him. Take the helmet of salvation. Take it. Don't throw it away. Don't cease to use it. And may we each one have the right mind to serve the Lord and even endure whatever for him.
You may have heard my short talk on my brand new King James Version Cambridge Bible. I had five reasons to stick with the KJV. Well, today I want to introduce you to a KJV study Bible. This is put out by Heritage Books and is a perfect Bible for every Christian home and every Bible student. So, don't go away. Give me a few minutes of your time to introduce you to this KJV study Bible. You'll be glad you did. First off, this is a decent-sized Bible, which is truly crammed full of good, solid information. But it is not overwhelming as you flip each page. On each page, there are helps with the text of Scripture to open up words and idioms that might burden the first-time reader of the KJV. At the end of each Bible chapter is a short devotional with thoughts and questions to stimulate the reader, which makes this excellent for family reading. At the back of the Bible is a concordance to help you find locations and themes or key Bible words. I really like the section on how to live as a Christian. Here are just five of the 32 one-page subjects to help you live the Christian life. Coming to Christ, united with Christ, experiencing justification and adoption, growing in sanctification, assured and persevering, Bible reading, why and how we pray, and family worship. Then there is a section on 20 centuries of church history, with one page on each century. These historic summaries are invaluable and should be read and reread by every Christian. It puts so much church history at your fingertips. The KJV Study Bible also contains the full text of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1647, with larger and shorter catechisms, and along with other helps, it has a Bible reading plan for the whole year. This is a Bible I can highly recommend, all in one volume, which is incredible and made possible by its high-quality paper. This is the Reformation Heritage King James Version Study Bible and is available at heritagebooks.org. Just tell them I recommended it and ask for your discount. You never know. There's no harm in asking. I'm recommending this Bible to you because I want to encourage you to be a thorough Bible student. Don't just flick through the Bible. Get into it. And I'm certain that if you do have a King James Study Bible, the Reformation Study Bible, that it will help you to get good, solid information that will help you to comprehend the Word of God and strengthen you in your faith. The book of Hebrews 4:12 says that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And so this Bible will search you as you search the Bible. It will reveal sin to you, and it will bring you under conviction of sin. That's the power of God's Word. And for that reason, many people don't want to read it because they don't want to face up to what they are, how they are living. But God speaks very powerfully in His own Word. And it's important that you don't get your information secondhand. This is a study Bible, not to replace the Bible, but to help you dig into the Scriptures of truth. And so I do hope that this will be an encouragement to you. And whether you have this study Bible or not, well, be a Bible student, be a Bible reader every day, and let God feed your soul on His own Word. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.